What a wonderful ministry Gary has at the jail there in Nevada, ministering to people about Jesus. And tying this all together with the offering time, you probably don't know this. Over the last number of months, your giving to the Lord has given Gary the opportunity to buy Bibles that he in turn gives to prisoners there in the Nevada jail. And so that's great ministry. These folks are given the truth, the Word of God, through your tithes and offerings, and they're able to read that there and learn about Jesus, besides the fact that Gary's preaching to them every week. So that is a wonderful thing. The story is told about an Amish family that came to the local mall for the very first time. They were absolutely amazed at all of the merchandise and all of the stuff that was available to them. The mother wandered off in one direction, and the father and son wandered off in a different direction. The father and son came upon these two silver doors that kept moving apart and sliding back together. And the son said, "Father, what is this?" And the father, having never seen an elevator before, said, I don't know what it is, son. I've never seen anything like it. And they watched together as this older, very plain and pretty heavy-set woman came up to the silver doors, and she pushed a button, and she waited a few minutes. The doors opened, and she stepped inside the doors. And they watched as the lights above the door began to light up in sequence from 1 to 3. And for a few moments, they just stood there, and they watched again as the lights began to light up in reverse order back down to 1. And the doors opened up, and out walked this absolutely beautiful young lady. And she was slender, and she was nicely shaped. She had a bounce to her step. And the father watched her. He didn't take his eyes off of her, and he said to his son, "Go get your mother." The father thought that transformation was taking place inside of those doors. 2 weeks ago, I preached to you about Elijah, the prophet. And I mentioned to you that Elijah went out of this world in a very unique way. You remember, a fiery chariot and horses came down. There was a whirlwind, and they received Elijah into that chariot, and up to heaven he went. Now, before that happened, his young protege, Elisha, was with him and asked him for a double portion of his spirit. And Elijah said to him, "You have asked for a very hard thing. If you read this account in 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll see this story as it transpires. Elijah said to Elisha, "You shall have your request come true. You shall have a double portion of my spirit if you are with me when I leave this earth." And so, as you're reading this story, Elisha stuck with Elijah like glue. I mean, nothing could separate the two of them. He would not let anything deter him from being with Elijah. And indeed, that chariot of fire came down and the whirlwind and took Elijah into heaven. And Elisha was right there seeing it all happen. And in fact, as it happened, Elijah dropped his mantle, his outer robe. It fell to the ground as he went into heaven. Elisha went over and picked that mantle up, and he struck the waters of the Jordan River with it, and the water divided, and Elisha walked across the riverbed on dry ground. It was the first of 28 miracles that Elisha would perform in the Old Testament. And I found it interesting as he's asked Elijah for this double portion of his spirit. Elijah worked 14 miracles in his ministry. And Elisha times two, 28 miracles in his ministry. He did, in fact, receive a double portion of Elijah's spirit. It is my challenge to you today, and to me too, that we would pray to God for a double portion of his spirit. And by that, I simply mean that we would be praying to God, would you fill me up to overflowing with your Holy Spirit? I can't think of a better prayer for our graduates to pray than that. That God would fill them up with his Holy Spirit to a point of overflowing. Because that is where the victory is. We've been talking about this theme of victory all through 2021. And the victory is not in our own strength. It's not in that which we can muster up from within ourselves. The victory is in Jesus. The victory is in his Spirit who resides in us. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to that power that works within us." Notice the last part of that verse. The power is where? It's in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and he has his power available for us. Dear God, would you give me a double portion of your Spirit? I want us to look at three instances where this double portion of Elijah's spirit shows up in Elisha. And the first instance is in 2 Kings chapter 4. As I turned to that passage this last week in my Bible, I noticed this heading over chapter 4 of 2 Kings. It says, "The widow's oil." And that's what we read about in this fourth chapter. The widow happened to be a preacher's wife. Her husband has died and left her in a bad way. He left her with no money and several debts. There was no life insurance policy. There was no emergency fund. There was no savings account. And she had two sons that were about to be taken by the creditors. And as you can imagine, this widow is in a panic. She is beside herself. She has already lost her husband. Now she is about to lose her two sons. And so she runs to Elisha the prophet for help. She's looking for someone that can give her advice as to what she might do. Elisha's question to her was, "What do you have?" She said, "All I've got is a jar of oil." And I find it interesting that Elisha didn't just give her a handout. He asked her what she might have that she could contribute to the situation or to the problem that she was in. And she says, "What I have is not much, just a little bit of oil." And Elisha says to her, "I want you to go throughout your neighborhood and get as many empty jars as what you can. Big jars, little jars, pickle jars, peanut butter jars, jelly jars. I mean, whatever kind of jar you can find. You get as many jars as what you can." And this was his instruction to her. He said, "Do not get a few." In other words, get as many jars as what you can find. And once you have them, go into your house, shut the door behind you, and pour your oil into the jars that you have gathered. Can you picture this in your mind? she and her two sons going around the neighborhood asking for jars. Each of the boys, maybe they're pulling their little red wagon after them to put the jars in. Do you have any empty jars that I could have? Do you have any empty jars that I could have? What am I going to do with these jars? Oh, I'm going to pour oil into them. How much oil do I have? Oh, just a little bit of oil. And I'm sure people thought she was losing it. She's flipped her lid. That's what the neighbors were thinking. She's lost her husband. Her mind's just kind of gone with him. And she doesn't know what in the world's going on. I'm sure they're talking about her. They're shaking their head at her. She was the woman of God. She was doing what God's prophet had told her to do. Hey, son, go over to that park with your wagon and see if you can find any empty jars there. Check that trash can. Let's go to the grocery store. Maybe we can find some empty jars there. Let's go to the ballpark and see if we can find some empty jars there. Look in the ditches. Let's go to the school. I bet there's some empty jars there. I wonder about the local diner. Maybe there's some empty jars there. She was the woman of God doing what the prophet of God had told her to do. She was gathering empty vessels. And once she's done that, once the wagons are full, she and her boys go into their house with all of their empty jars, and I'm thinking in my mind, they're closing the door behind them, probably they're pulling the drapes, and it was time to test the prophet's words to see if they were true. I want you to picture this in your mind. I mean, this lady is desperate. She's afraid she's going to lose her sons to the creditors. Her only hope is that the words that the prophet has spoken to her are going to turn out to be true. And so they gather there in their living room. And she goes then from there into the kitchen, into the cabinet. She pulls out that one jar of oil that she has, and I'm thinking it's not even full. It's a half full jar of oil. And she goes back to where her sons are, and she's looking at them, and she's saying, "Oh God, I don't want to lose my sons." And she looks at that jar that's half full. And she says to her son, "Hand me a jar." "Oh, no, not that one. That one's too big. I want a little jar." And so they give her a little jar. And she takes that jar of oil and she starts to pour. And she pours until it's full. And she lays that aside and she looks at the jar that's in her hand. It still has some oil in it. And she says, "Hand me another jar. Hand me that quart jar." And they put that quart jar in her hand and she starts to pour. And she pours until it's full. And she lays it aside and she's getting a smile on her face. And she's looking at this jar and it's still got oil in it. And she says, "Hand me another jar." And she's getting excited now. And she's getting some hope. And they put another jar in her hand and she pours and she fills that jar up. And there's still oil left in this jar. "And hand me another jar." And I mean, it just goes on and on. Every jar that is put in her hand, she pours oil into it and fills it until it's completely full. And it was a miracle of God. And she is so excited and she is so overflowing with the joy of the Lord. She runs to Elisha with her two sons in hand and she tells him what has happened. The oil that you told me to do this, and I gathered all of these vessels and I've filled these jars with oil from this little bit of oil that I had. And Elisha says, "Now go and sell the oil and pay your debts and you and your sons live on what is left over. It was an absolute miracle of God. Now, what can we learn from this story? Several lessons. And the first lesson is this: God can take what little we have and he can stretch it a long ways if we'll just put our trust in him. And you say, I don't have much to give. I really don't have much to give. Brother, sister, you don't need to have a lot to give. You just need to give yourself. You need to put your trust in him, and he will multiply that which you have 100-fold. A second lesson is this: we learn the importance of obedience. She was the woman of God doing what the prophet of God told her to do. And God blessed her for her obedience. This miracle would not have happened had she not obeyed the Lord. She was the woman of God doing what the prophet of God had told her to do. Obedience is important. Here's a third lesson that we can learn from this story. If you gather the empty vessels and bring them to him, he will fill them up with his Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, oil often represented the Spirit of God. If you bring to him empty vessels, which are your friends and your family members, guess what he will do with them? He will fill them up with his Holy Spirit. And so my encouragement to you is: go to the ballpark, go to the gym, go to the grocery store, go to the school, go to the swimming pool this summer. Go, 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 and bring empty vessels to him so that he can fill them up with his Holy Spirit. And please note, here's a fourth lesson: the oil stopped flowing when the last vessel was filled up. I bet she wished she could have found more empty vessels, because as long as those empty vessels were being put in her hand, the oil kept flowing. But the last jar, as it was filled up, that's when the oil stopped flowing. Could I encourage you to keep going out there into the world, gathering empty vessels, and bring them to him that he might fill them up with his Holy Spirit? Let me take you to another miracle that took place in Elisha's ministry, where we see this double portion of Elijah's spirit showing up in Elisha. And the story is found in 2 Kings chapter 5. The heading, again, a note in my Bible, as I turn to 2 Kings chapter 5, the heading was Elisha and Naaman the leper. Are you familiar with this story? Naaman was captain of the army for the king of Aram. The scripture says that he was a great man and highly respected. The scripture also says that he was a valiant warrior, and here's the asterisk, it says he was a leper. It just so happened that Naaman had a little slave girl in his household who was from the land of Israel. And I think from what I can sense from Scripture, she's been there in Naaman's household. Though she is a slave, though she has been taken captive from Israel, she's been there long enough that it feels like home to her. And she cares for Naaman. She cares for Naaman's wife. And so she says to Naaman's wife, as they're together, I wish my master were with the prophet who is from my homeland. If he were with that prophet, the prophet would cure him of his leprosy. Well, did that catch her attention? In fact, caught everybody's attention. That you mean there's a possibility of being cured of leprosy? And so, long story short, Naaman shows up on the doorstep of Elisha and asks him to heal him of his leprosy. And Elisha, you remember what Elisha said to Naaman? He said, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Naaman's response was not a happy response. He said, "I expected the prophet to come out of the house and wave his arms in the air and call on his God and then something great to happen." In other words, what Naaman was expecting to happen was for Elisha to put on a show, to do something great, to wave his arms in the air, to call on God, to maybe a lightning bolt come down from heaven. That's what Naaman was looking for. When Elisha, all he says is, "Hey, just go down there to the river and wash yourself 7 times in the river and you shall be clean." It really hacked Naaman off. He says, "Aren't the rivers back in my homeland cleaner than the Jordan?" And Naaman turns in a rage to go home. He's not had things go according to his expectation, but his servants talk some sense into him. They grabbed a hold of him and said, "Hey, Naaman, what are you doing? If he had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? I mean, if he had told you to climb a mountain, if he had told you to run a marathon, wouldn't you have done it? Wouldn't you have bent over backwards to do whatever he told you to do? And yet, he has told you this one simple thing to do. He has told you to go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times in the river. Why don't you just do what the prophet told you to do?" Let me read to you 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14. "And so he went." "So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was clean." Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord for his healing power. And praise the Lord for this double portion of Elijah's spirit in Elisha. What's the lesson that we can learn from this? I think the lesson is just, I mean, it's hitting us in the face. It's just right there. It's loud and clear. We learn the lesson of obedience. If Naaman had not obeyed the words of the prophet, he would have gone home with his leprosy. But because he did decide to obey the prophet, his leprosy was healed. Obedience to God is very important. Dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and you will be healed. It wasn't until the 7th time that Naaman dipped himself in the Jordan before he was healed. It wasn't on the first, after the first dip. It wasn't after the 5th dip. It wasn't after the 6th dip. It was after he had obeyed the word of the prophet. Dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. I think God is looking to see if our faith is strong enough in him that we will obey him to the very detail. That we will say to him, "Not my way, God, but your way." And hear me say this. I really believe that this is a type of baptism in the Old Testament. You say, "What?" This is a type of baptism in the Old Testament. It is a foreshadowing of baptism in the New Testament. Just as the animal sacrifices were a foreshadowing of the perfect sacrifice that Jesus would one day make, just as the bronze serpent on the pole in the wilderness was a foreshadowing of Jesus hanging on a tree, so too Naaman's dipping in the Jordan River was a foreshadowing of New Testament baptism. It's saying, hey, this is what's to come. The Hebrew word in the text, and being Hebrew, I'm saying the word in the Old Testament scripture in this particular passage for dipping is the word tabael. Tabael. It's spelled T-A-B-A-L. I had to look up that word in the Hebrew and listen as they told me how to pronounce it. Tabael, which means to plunge, to immerse. It is the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek word baptizo, which means exactly the same thing, to dip, to plunge, to immerse. When Naaman obeyed God by dipping himself into the Jordan 7 times and he came up out of the water, his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child. So too, in the New Testament, when a person is dipped into the waters of baptism, they obey the Lord in that instruction. The scripture says they are born again and their sins are washed away. Ananias said to Saul, Acts 22:16, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Acts 2:38, Peter said to the crowd on Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know, maybe there are some people here today who need to obey what God has said in his word about being baptized. I remember a couple of years ago, Ron Wadle was here on a Sunday morning, and he came forward to be baptized, and he didn't have any dry clothes. You remember that, Ron? Didn't have any dry clothes to change into after his baptism. And that didn't matter to him. He wanted to obey God that day, that moment. And he was baptized in his church clothes. And he went home wet. And I mean, I'm sure he remembers that. A lot of us would remember that because it was such a special moment where it was like, okay, if that's what he wants me to do, that's what I'll do. I don't care about wet clothes. I don't care about the temperature outside. I just will do what God wants me to do. My nephew Sean and my brother Tom are both in ministry. They work together at a church in Longmont, Colorado, which is about 40 minutes north of Denver. Sean, Tom's son, is the senior guy, and Tom works for his son. It's a great situation. 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? They had Baptism Sunday, and they had 60 baptisms that Sunday morning. And I asked my brother Tom, were all of those planned? And he said, well, most of them were. Most of them were planned. Most of them, people would, they had talked with and they had signed up on the internet. Yes, I want to be baptized on Sunday morning, Baptism Sunday. But he said, there were a number of people who were there that morning and they just decided that they wanted to obey God. It was time that they obey God in what he has told them to do. And so they hadn't come planning to be baptized, but the Spirit moved them to obey God, and they came forward, and they were a part of that 60 that were baptized. I don't know if they had clothes or not to go home in. Can you imagine yourself as Naaman coming up out of that water being healed of your leprosy? And better yet, you could be like Saul, coming up out of that water being washed clean of your sins. You can be born again today if you were willing to obey him in Christian baptism. And of course, there's nothing magical about the water that's in the baptistry any more than what there was something magical about the Jordan River. The Jordan River, we've seen it. It's a dirty river. But when Naaman obeyed the prophet, which was inspiration to the prophet from God, in saying, go and wash, go and dip yourself 7 times in the river and you will be clean. When he obeyed the prophet, what the prophet said happened. Dear God, would you give us a double portion of your Spirit, that we would be bold enough to speak the truth to people. Elisha was bold. He spoke the truth to Naaman. And then it was left up to Naaman as to whether he was going to obey the truth. I've got one more instance very quickly where the double portion of Elijah's Spirit showed up in Elijah. The text is 2 Kings 6. The heading in my Bible in 2 Kings 6, the Arameans plot to capture Elisha. Elisha was in the city of Dothan, and the army of Aram had come for Elisha. They had surrounded the city. There were horses and chariots and soldiers all over the mountains surrounding Dothan. And as Elisha's servant woke up first thing in the morning, he gets up. What do you? You kind of stretch. I need some fresh air. And he goes outside to get some fresh air. And as he goes outside, he looks, and all around the mountaintops surrounding the city are soldiers and chariots and horses of the army of Aram. And he says, Elisha, what shall we do? We're surrounded by the army of Aram. Let me read to you Elisha's response. Chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen? Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wow. May we have that double portion of God's Spirit, that our eyes will be open to see that he who is with us is greater than any foe we stand against. He's greater than cancer. You believe that? He's greater than our financial woes. He's greater than our marital woes. He's greater than our worries and our doubts. He's greater than any temptation that we face. He is greater than our fears. He is greater. Would you say that with me? He is greater. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so my challenge to us today is to make Elisha's prayer our prayer. Dear God, would you give me a double portion of your Spirit? Would you fill me up to overflowing? Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for Elisha. Wow, what a man of God. Filled up with your Spirit, you are able to do that for us too. You're able to fill us to overflowing, and we don't have a lot to offer you. We're not talented. We're not overflowing with charisma. But God, you take an empty vessel that is dedicated to you, and you fill us to overflowing, and you use us. So would you do that again in us? And help us to learn the importance of obedience, God. We see it over and over again in Scripture.